Elvis from the LP Elvis is Back from 1960. It's Blues to Tuesday here on the Night Prowl Show. I'm your furry litter, Matt the Cat, where it's at. And baby, oh Lord have mercy, baby. I'm just about ready to bring on the rock and roll tornado, the daredevil himself, the legendary Dale Hawkins. But before I do that, let's go back to 1956. Now, we're going to get the whole story behind the story from Dale himself on this. But let's kick it off with the demo version of Susie Q. Dale Hawkins coming up on the Night Prowl Show. That's a lot different than the Susie Q we know, but also kind of similar. We gotta go to the man who was there, the guy who created it. The rock and roll tornado's about to blow up into the satellite, baby. It's my pleasure to introduce to all you night prowlers the man himself, Dale Hawkins.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you. And thank you to all the night prowlers. Hello out there. Ready for Matt.
thanks so much for coming on the show. You are one of my all-time favorites, man, because you rock, all right? Let me just tell you that right now. You rock.
Thank you.
You continue to rock to this day, and we celebrated your birthday not too long ago.
Yeah,
so.
Somebody told me about that. As a matter of fact, I hear from a lot of people about your show, and they tell me that you played this record of mine and that one, and they tell me especially the birthday thing, and I pretty appreciate that.
Yeah,
man.
So happy birthday, a belated birthday. I know it's a couple of weeks late, but, you know,
yeah,
better late than never, right, Dale?
That's right.
All right, now, Susie Q, before we get into anything else, there's a lot going on that record that was not put on the one that we know so well. Do you remember? I mean, there was a saxophone on there, wasn't there?
That was it took me about 3 months to get it like I wanted it. You know, I mean, with just the basic, the gut.
Yeah.
It was an alto sax player. His name's Shelton Bazell. And there was a bone? There was a trombone. Anyway, it was what I call is take it down and put it together, or just leave it alone, or take out what you don't want and just stay with the basics. And so that's what I did. I took it right down to the bare bone, used the intro with a cowbell.
Yeah.
And then in the end, when the lick came in, when James played the lick, and it was basically simple, but it took a long time to get, you know, because Matt, there wasn't, you know, we didn't have any recording studios or anything. That was done at a radio station called KENT.
In Shreveport, right?
In Shreveport, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, was James on that demo as well, James Burton?
James was on the demo, yeah.
Okay, that was him, yeah. He seems to be fooling around trying to get it right, too, you know?
Right. I mean, it was, the song is there, but the putting it together. I mean, people bypass producer or the artist or whatever, but it's got to be so structured in a production way.
Right, right.
And it just fell in, Matt. Whenever we went in, there was James, Ronnie Lewis, bass band, and some guys that used to stay down at the record store, some hand clapping, and we just had a good time.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, we did on the original the checker release.
Yeah.
But that demo there, could you hear the sax doing pickups with the guitar at the first there?
No, I missed that.
It wasn't that part. It was funny because I hadn't heard that in so long.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that it was in existence until about maybe 10, 12 years ago.
Well, you can definitely hear the acetate surface noise on that.
So
that was cut on acetate and probably put away somewhere.
Yeah.
Now you were talking about the radio station where it was recorded in Shreveport. Now, there was no producer on that particular record, right? Was it just you guys fooling around, or did somebody produce that?
We went in with the song structured and produced. I had produced the session.
Okay.
Well, I had to, Matt. If you just think about it, you know, writing a song, James and I wrote the song.
Right.
Okay, but to be the artist, to be the producer of putting it together, you know, you bridge, you know, how you want it, where you want your solo, how you want it.
Oh yeah,
and things like that. And, you know, we were both, I mean, James was almost 15. I think I was close to 18. Young people that just having a good time.
Yeah, he was telling me, I interviewed James Burton a couple of months ago, and he was telling me that he came up with that riff when he was like 14 years old.
Uh-huh.
And did he bring it to you? Like, how did you guys meet? Did he bring you the riff? I mean, how did that work out?
No, see, let me, the riff. Now, James played the riff.
Mm-hmm.
So don't take that. Well, I'm not taking that away from him. See, there was I cut my teeth down in Louisiana, where you know, it's a melting pot of all kinds of music. Okay, gospel, blues, country. I mean, it was a Saturday night, and down in Louisiana and Mangum, you know, you could hear all kinds of music. If you'll go back with me, like to 1954, and they say the Clovers had a song. I got my eyes on you.
Sure,
bum,
yeah.
Bum.
I play that one, yeah.
I got my eyes on you. Okay, all right. Now, and if you go back and you think about Muddy, think about Baby, Please Don't Go.
Mm-hmm.
Bum, down.
It's the same song, isn't it?
It's the same song. But, I mean, it's that was the feel of Suzy Q.
Yeah, now that you pointed out, I can totally see where that's coming from. Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, it's a thing that you know, it's like when we were working on it, when James came up with the lick, I wrote the song around, you know, the lick.
Right, you wrote the lyrics, and he came up with the lick.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is the producing of the writing around the lick. Okay, let me see. I can say the structure of the song was a simple structure, but we had about an hour in the studio to get it down. We had four microphones, Bob Sullivan, engineer, and it was a KWKH, and he had the regular old RCA pods. Mm-hmm. You know, and we took five cuts of Suzy Q down that night, and the one that Leonard finally released after all that I had to go through to get him to get it out. The 843, the checker one. Mm-hmm. I don't mean was the feel. I mean it had the feel, and it just enough. At that time, people talk about reverb. There was no reverb late 56 and early 57. So,
right.
So what that was just a feedback.
The natural stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so,
it's so dirty. I mean, that riff is so dirty.
You know,
I mean, it's just
crazy.
It's filthy, man. It is filthy. And I was talking to James about that. I said, "How'd you do it?" I mean, you know, you hear about guys loosening the tubes on their amps or poking holes in the cones on the amps, and James really couldn't. He just said, "I don't know. We just got it." You know.
Leonard Chess had just built this long studio. They had just moved into the South Michigan. I was 2120 South Michigan,
yeah,
from the South Side. And he had built this echo chamber,
yeah,
under the studio. So he ran this version of it through the echo chamber.
Oh, no way. The whole song through the echo?
The whole song, and it's just enough. And at the with the grit and the feel of it, it was just enough to fill in the blank spot.
Well, there's something I didn't know, Dale. That's an amazing story. He ran the whole recording. Not you guys playing live. He ran the recording through the echo chamber.
No, after the recording was done,
yeah,
when he had it in Chicago.
Right. He ran that through it.
That's exactly right.
And basically, while he was mastering it, he ran it through.
That's exactly right.
Wow, man, that's cool.
Yeah.
And James also played on the flip side, Don't Treat Me This Way.
Yeah, Don't Treat Me This Way, yeah.
But that was pretty much it for him, right? Or am I wrong?
With me, and I did some stuff in the 70s out on the coast when I was with RCA,
mm, right.
James. And I just did a show, went down and did his foundation guitar thing with James on the 23rd.
His big guitar
month.
Festival, last month, yeah.
And we had a ball. I mean, it was so good. I came on and just said, "Hey, you know, if just one person can be helped from whatever else, mm-hmm, is going here, but I came to play some rock and roll music." Wham! We hit, and I got to talk a little bit about Bo. You know, Bo and I were good friends,
yeah,
man.
You guys were label mates.
Yeah, I was the only white guy on that label.
Yeah.
And he saved my life a couple of times. But anyway, we kicked into to Who Do You Love and just did a medley. Did Hey Bo, did a little Mona. Went back and Who Do You Love and then, you know, out. And we tore them up. We had a good time.
His foundation's really great. I mean, it's helping to, you know, give instruments to kids
who
need them, and to keep music alive. You know,
because
if you don't teach the kids music, who's going to be the next set of guitar players?
Where is the melody line, man?
Yeah. Where's it going to come from? Yeah.
We need we need things like this band. It needs to be taught. And the thing about it is guys like you and others that know the masters.
Right.
You can't duplicate rock and roll. It's got to be in you, in your soul. You know, if we 10 years from now, I'd say any one of the top five songs in Billboard or any charts,
mm-hmm,
somebody can sing me the melody line to the song. I don't believe they'll be able to.
Mm.
Do you understand what
I'm
saying, Matt?
I know. If it's in you, it's got to come out. And
that's right.
You kind of wonder if it's in anyone anymore, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah,
I know. But, you know, the music will never die, man.
No, I don't believe that our, I mean, we crossed bridges. I mean, we plowed some heavy roads, but it was kind of a like a bridge crossing of our time.
Yeah.
rock and roll music is roots American music, and it comes from several different avenues of types of music. But I know when I'm gone, and people might not know my name, but then they will forget Susie Q.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was going to mention that. I mean, you are on one of the greatest rock and roll. You are the man behind one of the greatest rock and roll songs of all time. And it's a shame that in some circles you're remembered solely for Susie Q. But on this show, we play so many of your songs.
Somebody told me that you had played some of the other songs, and I appreciate that, man.
And we're going to play them tonight, too. But I play them in regular rotation, like on a daily basis. We play, not just Lado Dada or any of those, Cross Ties, just so many, Liza Jane, and just all that great stuff, man. We're going to play them tonight.
It was, I think what you're doing is great. And it's like what James does. If this foundation, the way that it's set up, that there'll be certain rules, and not rules, but just like a manual of sort for the student to have,
right,
to learn from. But you really got to want to. I call them the want tours. You give me the want tours, I'll give you the best, and I'll beat you. That's a fact, man.
Yeah. That's great. Well, we've been talking about that dirty riff that James played. We're talking about this, one of the greatest rock and roll songs of all time. It lives forever, and there's so many different cover versions of it. I mean, you got to love the way Creedence did it as well.
It was good.
It was good. They put their stamp on it, but man, the original is still the greatest. Let's hear the studio version now.
All right.
Of your classic Susie Q.
Rock and roll
tornado is on the air with me now. Dale Hawkins.